Yes, we are ready.
Very good. Then it is 6 o'clock on Monday, April 12th of 2021. I will call to order this Grover Beach City Council meeting at 6 p.m. of this virtual meeting. In compliance with the state and county sheltered home orders, meetings are being held by teleconference until further notice. And this meeting can be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website, as well as www.slow-span.org. And members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling in at 805-321-6639. And those phone lines are open now if you want to call in and get in the queue for public comment. So with that, I would like to take a moment of silence. And there's been a number of events throughout the course since we've last met that have always have an opportunity to shake us to our core and to make us reconsider or think about where we are as a nation, where we are as a country, where we are as a people. So, but I'd like to go in a slightly different direction and say I have hope for all of us. I have hope for each of us, and I'd like to take a moment of silence for the positive things in our lives and to wish everyone a opportunity to have love and compassion, love and light in their hearts. And I'd like to encourage everyone to take a moment of silence and think on that rather than on the hate. Thank you, everyone, for joining in that moment of silence. So it is always a pleasure to bring in members of the community to do our flag salute. And tonight is no exception, as we have Jacob Corbett, who is 10 years old and in the fourth grade at Grover Heights Elementary School. Jacob likes playing baseball and Minecraft with his friends when he has free time. So Jacob, if you would, so you're with your mom tonight, but we were happy to have you join us and lead us in our flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and nation for all, justice for all.
Very good. Thank you, Jacob. Nicely done. So we appreciate you joining us this evening. So we hope to see you in person one of these days. Thank you, Councilmember Miller, for sharing Jacob with us tonight. So with that, I will turn it over to our city clerk for a roll call, please.
Okay. Councilmember Miller.
Here.
Councilmember Robert.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Here.
Mayor Lee.
I am here as well, and we have a quorum, so we will continue with the city council meeting. And that'll take us to our closed session announcements, where I'll turn to our city attorney, Dave Hale, for any announcements out of prior closed sessions.
Thank you, Mayor. On March 22nd, 2021, the council went into closed session on two agenda items. One was conference with legal negotiators pursuant to Government Code 54957.6, with agency negotiators being Special Counsel Jay Johnson, City Manager Matthew Bronson, and members of staff, represented employee group, general employees, service employees, International Union Local 620. The second item on that agenda was conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to paragraph 4, subdivision D of section 54956.9 of the Government Code. That matter represented only one case. There were no reportable actions on either of those agenda items that evening.
Very good. Thank you, sir, for those closed session announcements. And next, we will turn to our agenda review, where at this time, the council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Let's see if any member of the council wants to move any items on the agenda. If not, I will accept a motion to present or proceed with the agenda as posted.
Well, I'll move that we adopt the agenda as presented.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Very good. We will proceed as presented, which takes us to our ceremonial calendar, where we have a proclamation for Arbor Day. And I've asked Councilmember Robert to read this proclamation on behalf of the city. Mr. Robert.
Oh, am I? Yes, okay. Sure, my mic is on. Thank you. Proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach Declaration declaring April. May I start over? I'm sorry. My screen did a blip. Can you hear me? Okay. Proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring April 30th, 2021 as National Harbor Day. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees. And whereas this special day, the last day in April, called National Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than 1 million trees in Nebraska. Whereas Arbor Day is observed throughout the nation and the world, and whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil from wind and water, cut heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife. And whereas trees are a renewable resource, giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products. And whereas trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. And whereas Grover Beach desires to continue its tree planting practice, and whereas the Grover Beach Parks and Recreation and Public Works Department will plant several new trees along West Grand Avenue and conduct virtual Harbor Day activities to celebrate the importance of trees for the community during this week, April 26th through April 30th, 2021. Now, whereas be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby officially proclaim April 30th, 2021 as National Arbor Day in Grover Beach and urges all citizens to support efforts to care for our trees and woodlands and to support our community tree program. In whereas, therefore, Mayor Jeff Lee unto has set his hand and caused the seal of Grover Beach to affix this 12th day of April 2021.
Very good. Thank you, sir. So appreciate you reading that proclamation. And I understand we have Parks and Rec Director Kathy Petker here to receive the proclamation and say some words if she's so inclined.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. This is one of my most favorite times of the year is celebrating National Arbor Day. I do have a nickname as a tree hugger, and I like that nickname, so I'm going to go with it. So we're really excited that our department and Public Works is going to be able to honor the planting of new trees, and in an anniversary of our 60th anniversary, in honor of, our goal is to plant 60 trees throughout the city. And we also want to include the public's participation in this process. And we would like people from the public to, if they can, please plant a tree in honor of National Arbor Day and post a picture of yourself. And we would like you to hashtag that, hashtag Grover Beach Arbor Day. And this is the Arbor Day Challenge. And we want 60 new trees planted through the end of this year. We're going to go with it through the end of this year, and we want you to post it and tag the city and follow us on our social media sites. And also, we are planting new trees, several trees. Public Works and is working on planting several new trees all along West Grand Avenue, and those are the New Zealand Christmas tree as well as the Brisbane box trees, which are from originally from New Zealand and Australia. So, and we will be featuring a tree in front of Nan's on the corner of 13th and Grand, because it's right there on Nan's. And we will be doing a ceremony that is, the public is not invited to participate in person, and we want to say safe with COVID regulations, but we will have some pictures and some video and some planting, and we will share that with the public as well. And again, hashtag Grover Beach Arbor Day and send it to the city And you can also email it to the city at gbparks@groverbeach.org to our department email. And if you have any questions, please let me know. We'd be happy to answer them. And again, thank you for letting us honor the Grover Beach Arbor Day celebration.
Very good. Thank you, Director Petker. And just a quick question is, can people do that in advance of April 26th to April 30th? Is it any time this month?
Yes, any time, all the way through the end of the month and starting today.
Very good.
Send it on. We want the goal of as many as possible.
Wonderful. Yeah, so my family did do a COVID tree. We planted a magnolia tree in our front yard, so I will definitely be hashtagging that. Goes along with our COVID dog that we got as well. So let's see if there's any questions from other council members on with regards to Arbor Day. So anyone have any questions? Just go ahead and unmute yourself. Seeing no one unmute themselves, we'll look forward to hashtag Grover Beach Arbor Day and tree planting on April 30th in front of NANS, and then we'll see how many hashtags we can get of people doing tree planting either before this month or throughout this month. So,
very good. Mayor,
yes.
May I left out a key component of this whole program is that we actually want people to tag themselves and they will be entered to win our Arbor Day swag, which includes bags and water bottles and stickers and lots of prizes to win for our Arbor Day contest. So that's an incentive to get hashtagged out there, Grover Beach Arbor Day. So there's lots of swag to win.
Very good. Yes, if you need more incentive than a clean tree and clean air, so Arbor Day swag it is. So thank you very much. Very good. Thank you, Ms. Petker, for that presentation. So that will conclude our ceremonial calendar, but it takes us to our presentation calendar, where I'm guessing I go right back to our Parks and Rec Director, Ms. Petker, for our Utility Box art presentation.
Yes, and I'll give Wendy a second to pull that up. There we go. So this is another very exciting program that we've been able to present to you and be honored to lead is our first ever utility box art program. And next slide. Little background information is that this was about a year ago. We created a competitive process for artists to participate, and we received 20 designs from 12 applicants in San Luis Obispo County. And the criteria were the originality and excellence. So we wanted, obviously, things that were related to Grover Beach to be original, and then their professionalism and their excellence of art and their experience. So we included the public art group, which included a member from the Chamber of Commerce, a local artist, city staff, and a commissioner. And that was the group that reviewed the proposals. And then the council approved the selected designs in 2019. And with the 20 artists, we were able to have 7 boxes completed along West Grand Avenue, all of our signal boxes. And then also artists were able to paint the accessory unit as well. So we'll go ahead and move forward on this. Next slide. So here is the location of all the painted boxes. You can see the beach there on the left, and the boxes are spread out evenly along West Grand Avenue, so they look really great and spaced out nicely when you're driving down West Grand. And listed is the map of the artists on the left and the locations on the right. And there's all of your artists right there. Next slide. So right, starting with 4th Street, this is called Fruits of Grover Beach by Gianna McCardell. And this is a representation of the fruits that are grown in Grover Beach. And definitely want to encourage everyone from the council, as well people watching from the public, to please go drive by, walk by, because all of the boxes have 4 sides and each side has different art. So this evening you're getting the teaser of the two sides that we were able to show. Next slide. And this is right here on 8th Street in Grover Beach. And this is called Fly a Kite by Shirley Hazlett. And this is the actual accessory unit, the smaller box. She's still working on the large box, so you'll have to go back and see that when it's finished as well. And it's a very beautiful sunset, as well as the large box will have a picture of a father flying a kite with a boy. Next slide. This is Octo Reflections by Scott Leakey. And this is beautiful, right in front of Rabobank on 9th Street. Phenomenal artist. Again, can't speak higher, more highly than what you can see there. Just an amazing art project right there. Next slide. And this is Coastal Console and by Justin and Rebecca Venturini on 10th Street, and it's appropriately placed near Ben's computers, so it looks really cool. And if anybody played Game Boy in the 80s, you know exactly what that is. So, next slide. And beautiful coyote magic art here, the dunes, coyote, the monarch butterflies within it, the background, the ocean. So this is Annie Capelli, and this one's on 11th Street. Another beautiful box. Next. And this is the Color Bubbles by Bernadette Rinma on 13th Street. Another beautiful artistic design for the boxes, and colorful and avant-garde style. So we're really happy about that one. And that one took a lot of work. That one is actually had a different aluminum type of metal, so it took her a lot longer to prepare the box, and it was a lot of work, so she did a great job. Next. And this is Easy Peasy Lemon Squeezy by Laura Lozana on 16th Street, and this is just an eclectic mix of her type of vision for a butterfly and geometric shapes and birds and fruits. So that is the last one for the artists. And next slide. And I'd be happy to answer any comments or questions.
Very nicely done, Ms. Pector. Thank you for leading that effort. Let's see if there's any members of the council that have any questions or comments on either the Arbor Day proclamation or the Utility Art Box presentation. Councilmember Roberts.
I think they're beautiful, just an enhancement to our city. And I'm very excited about Arbor Day and all the trees that are going on. And perhaps for that weekend, people could put their chainsaws up so we don't hear the chainsaws going. I'd appreciate that. It's going to be beautiful to have all these trees back in place and the new ones going in. I'm very excited. Thank you.
Very good. And Councilmember Miller, any comments?
What beautiful art. I guess my only question is, I'm wondering how the designs were chosen. Was it a proposal from the artist, or did the city have any say in what designs were selected?
Actually, the public art group and city staff, we worked as a team, and essentially there were two criteria, and there were specific definitions for the two criteria that we had. So we did use those as a guideline. I don't have them memorized or in front of me, but we did have some guidelines and some criteria. And then on top of those items, we also balanced the art and how each of them looked as compared to their locations and appropriateness. So there was a lot of discussion. There was had a actual scoring system, a point system, a review, another review. It was actually a really thorough review of selecting the art. And I know our city manager was also participating in the selection and the recommendations for the point system. So if he wants to add anything else, he's welcome to. It was pretty competitive, I have to say, and it was really hard. They were all so good.
Thanks, Kathy. I'll just add that the pool was limited to SLO County residents. So we wanted to keep it to folks within this county. We got proposals back, and even non-artists like me had a chance to weigh in on the beauty and the design. Ultimately, the recommendations went to the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission for their review, and ultimately approved by the council. So it was a council decision in the end to select the designs, and then we got sidetracked with COVID, like a lot of things in 2020, but then got these recharged in 2021, and they are beautiful works of art on West Grand Avenue. Thanks to Kathy for coordinating all this, and thanks to the council for its leadership in helping to beautify our city.
Thank you for sharing the selection process with me. Great choices.
And Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Well, really, I just want to say I just love the diversity of the artwork that was chosen. They're all so different, and I really like that a great deal. And Arbor Day, well, that's one of my favorites as well. So thank you for heading that up and making that something that everybody can participate in. Thank you.
And I'll just echo my council member, my peers' comments and say that thank you for the utility box art presentation. Looking forward to Arbor Day. And I'd also be remiss if I didn't say thank you to both the Parks and Rec and Beautification Commission, and especially former council member Barbara Nichols, whose passion for so many years was to get a utility box art presentation program going. And it's nice to see that it has come to fruition. And public and private can enjoy the art as they go up and down Grand Avenue, in whether it's in a vehicle or a pedestrian level. So it's you can always see different things in both formats. So very good for that. And I do see we do have a member who would like to speak on this item, but I think we'll call her up first under public communications. And so we'll close the utility box art presentation and bring it to public communications, where we'll have Ms. Jeffries come in, and I'm anticipating she'll speak about utility box art. But during this time, the council will allow public communications with additional communication, if necessary, allowed after the regular business items. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on tonight's agenda. And so those who do want to call in for public comment, please do so at 805-321-6639 if you'd like to make or provide any public comment. And with that, I'll turn it over to our city clerk and see if there's any members of the public who want to speak under public communications.
Yes, we have Krista Jeffries.
Good evening, Ms. Jeffries. Yes, we can.
I just wanted to say that it was such a privilege and an exciting thing to be a part of, to see the public art experiments unfold in Grover. Just in case there's any members of the council who aren't aware, I was part of the team who helped pick the utility box art. And like Kathy said, it was really competitive. We had a lot of really good options. But one thing that I really think we did well was the original prescription for public art in Grover Beach was pretty limited. And they wanted to, they being, you know, the people who we love and respect so much at Parks and Rec, wanted to keep the material and the subject matter of art very, very small and narrow. And some of the artists who were involved in public art in Grover Beach said, well, you know, we can always have the say-so, yes or no, over what actually gets put up with public funds and public spaces. But artists are great at what they're great at. And it's so much more fun to see a variety of works rather than a limited set of works, which is what a lot of other cities do. And I just want to thank the council for trusting the artists of the area to do what they do best. And I like that it was so accessible to people. There was no major list of qualifications. It was just really fun. And I love taking my kids up and down Grand, and they get to see all these fun pieces that some of them I helped put up and some of them I just said okay to. And I'm just really excited that Grover is so open to new things and trying new programs. It's really turned out well, and I hope we continue to do it in the future.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So appreciate that. So let's check in with our city clerk and see if there's any other members of the public on the line for public comments.
Yes, we have Joshua Madrano.
Good evening, Joshua.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Mayor Lee and esteemed council. My name is Joshua Madrano, and I am with the Tri-Counties Building and Construction Trades Council as the executive secretary and treasurer of San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties, representing over 7,500 hardworking men and women of the area. And tonight I'm commenting on the Central Coast Blue Project, which is a fantastic regional public works project that will be one of the largest projects undertaken by Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande. And thank you to all of you for unanimously supporting local hire through a community workforce agreement on the Central Coast Blue Project. It is vital that a binding local hire provision be put into place to ensure that Grover Beach residents and other SLO County workers are used on the project. Using local workers is vital to keeping our tax dollars local and providing a career path for the Grover Beach residents to achieve a career pathway with a local head of household job with benefits. The Central Coast Blue Project will be bound by prevailing wage, so there will be no additional labor cost to utilizing our local workforce to build a project through a community workforce agreement. A community workforce agreement is being used on the San Luis Obispo Wastewater Treatment Facility project, and over 80% of the workers on the $100+ million project live in San Luis Obispo County. And the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District is also using a similar agreement on their redundancy project. The Arroyo Grande City Council also recently voted unanimously in support of the CWA on the Central Coast Blue Project, joining this city council for a collective 9-0 in favor of using a community workforce agreement on the Central Coast Blue Project. We have requested in writing a meeting with the city of Pismo Beach to discuss the only way to ensure that local workers are used on the Central Coast Blue Project. So far, we have not received a response and are awaiting it. We thank Grover Beach for supporting the use of local workers on the Central Coast Blue Project, and urge the city to continue to work with the city of Arroyo Grande and the city of Pismo Beach to ensure that local workers, including workers that live in Grover Beach, are prioritized and put to work on the Central Coast Blue Project, even if the lowest bidder is from outside the area. We appreciate your time this evening and look forward to working with you in the near future. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Joshua, for those comments. Let's check in with the city clerk and see if there's any other members of the public who want to speak under public communication this evening.
Yes, we have David Baldwin.
Good evening, Mr.
Good
Baldwin.
Good evening, Mayor. Is my audio okay?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I'm David Baldwin. I'm the business manager for the Plumbers, Pipe Fitters, Refrigeration, HVAC Fitters for San Luis Obispo County. We're one of the affiliated unions that Joshua, who just spoke, actually represents the council. And I, too, want to thank you for the unanimous support for a local hire community workforce agreement, along with the city of Arroyo Grande, for the Central Coast Blue Project in one of your recent meetings. You know, just in real plain terms, as we approach the closure of Diablo Canyon Power Plant, it's imperative that we put more programs like a community workforce agreement in place to ensure that our tax dollars and stay local and that local workers are working on our local projects. This couldn't be more important for a city than it is for a working class community like Grover Beach. Too often, on these large projects, out-of-town or out-of-state employers win the bids on these big projects and bring with them their workers, their apprentices, and local workers are left out of the process. That hurts local workers, and it also hurts us as a community. A community workforce is a way to make sure that doesn't happen. In the next few weeks, Local 403 that I represent here in San Luis Obispo County will be opening our apprenticeship program for new applicants, testing and interviews for the next semester. And we'll be bringing in local residents who want to learn a skilled trade and get on board to one of these career pathways. The number of apprentices that we can accept and bring into the program is directly affected by local governments like Grover Beach, who adopt community workforce agreements and other programs that help to ensure that we have more work for local workers. So I want to encourage you on the path that you're on, and I want to thank you. And I look forward to working together, and I really appreciate the support on a community workforce agreement. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments, Mr. Baldwin. Always good to hear your voice. So let's check in with our city clerk and see if there's other members of the public that want to speak under public communication.
No, we have no other speakers.
Very good. Thank you for that. I will go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the council. And just a couple clarifications. First of all, I wanted to say thank you to Ms. Jeffries for her participation on the public arts group and her work on also being an artist on several other art projects throughout the city, including the one on, I believe it's, if I'm remembering correctly, 11th Street by Hole in the Sky on the Dew Nights, and then a couple of other projects, and then also being participating with Jeff Almashot and putting together a wonderful public art display as part of the Stone Soup presentation back in 2019. So, and then also just wanted to clarify and appreciate Joshua and David calling in with regards to the Central Coast Blue. And if I just a clarification, and I'll turn to my city, our city manager, just to make sure that I'm about to say this correctly, is that we as a council did say we're supportive of local hire and wanted to make sure that the CWA was discussed and brought forward as part of the procurement documents. And so while we did express our support, we have not signed on to a CWA as of yet. I believe the appropriate time is we need some educational process, either internally and externally, with Pismo, Grover Beach, and Aroid Grande, in order to make sure that that is the proper format moving forward, as well as the grant requirements will be known at that point to see if any grant requirements are going to specify what type of local hire provisions we need to put into place. So I'll just turn to our city manager and make sure that I express that correctly.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, you captured that very well. Thank you.
Very good. So without having discussion on either of those items, just want to make sure that the council doesn't have anything that they need to ask on from public comments. So I'll look to Mayor Pro Tem Bright. Council Member Miller. Very good. Council Member Robert. We seem to, I've lost his video. Here. There he is.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you. Okay.
Very good, thank you. So, and so we are looking forward to having the City of Aroid Grande consider continue its deliberations tomorrow night on Central Coast Blue and hopefully come to a resolution by their City Council. So, with that, I will go ahead and close public communications, bring it back for consent agenda, where we do have several routine items that are listed for consideration, or excuse me, are scheduled for consideration as a group. The recommendations for each are noted in parentheses on the agenda, and I will ask first to see if there's any members of the council that have any questions on the consent agenda. So we'll start with Council Member Robert.
No questions. Thank you.
Very good. Council Member Miller. Very good. And Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. No questions.
Very good, and I didn't have any questions either, so I'll turn to our city clerk and see if there are any members of the public that want to speak on the consent agenda. If they do, hopefully they've called in at 805-321-6639, or now is a good time to do that as well. So I'll turn to our city clerk, see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on the consent agenda.
No one. We have no one for public comment.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and close public comment on the consent agenda, bring it back to the council for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Council Member Robert, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. Any other questions or comments? Roll call, please, Madam City Clerk.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So we have an approved consent agenda. And just before we head to our regular business items, I do just want to say thank you to the city staff for bringing these items forward and continuing the work on our Measure K 14 street improvements, as we did just continue moving forward with now CIP 2295-10. And as the summer ramps up, we are ramping up our additional construction efforts, and I think city staff and our contractors are doing a great job of making sure that everything is done in accordance with the plans and in, safely, as well as with as minimal of disruption as possible to the traveling public. So just want to say thank you to everybody for that implementation. So with that, we have no public hearings this evening, but we do have regular business items. And before I introduce the item, I will ask for those that do want to comment on any of our business items tonight, please call in at 805-321-6639. And we'll start with item number 7, which is our Americans with Disabilities Act Transition Plan update. So it looks like I will start with Public Works Director, City Engineer, Mr. Greg Ray.
Thank you, Mayor, Honorable Mayor and City Council. I appreciate the introduction. And with that, we'll start into our ADA transition plan update. Next slide, please, Wendy. So what is the ADA self-evaluation and transition plan update? Well, we're presenting the 2019 ADA transition plan update for council adoption tonight. This is a requirement by Title II of the American with Disabilities Act, what we call the ADA. Public agencies are required to identify and evaluate any barriers or potential barriers that may deny individuals with disabilities access to the City of Grover Beach's programs, services, and activities. The city contracted with Disability Access Consultants, LLC, or known as DAC to us, and they conducted the self-evaluation and prepared the plan update, which is your report identified as attachment 1. DAC consultants conducted a comprehensive survey of city buildings, parks, public rights of way, and programs, services, and activities. Next slide, please. The city, I'll note, has already been implementing plan recommendations. You know, so you noted this is a 2019 update, but we've been implementing plan recommendations. And most notably, corner ramps and sidewalk infills associated with major K-14 projects. We have implemented or have a recommendation for CIP 3003, which is the ADA accessibility upgrades project. And we incorporated ADA accessibility improvements and upgrades with most recent City Hall upgrades project. The plan adoption was put on hold until now to allow for other projects to move forward. Tonight, the report and this report provides the key findings and recommendations related to 30 different programs, services, and activities. This is a very comprehensive study. It included inspection and documentation of 15 facilities and parks, 659 individual curb ramps, 15 bus stops, 6 signalized intersections, and almost 80 miles of public rights of way. The work by DAC consultants also included a community survey for input on accessibility citywide, and surveys of staff members to identify weaknesses in our training and understanding of the ADA compliance and laws and regulations. Next slide, please. I'll note that the city is committed, and the study also notes the city is committed to complying with the tenets of Title II of the ADA to provide accessibility for individuals with disabilities. This plan before you tonight prioritizes transition, barrier removal, and recognizing that it is not feasible to immediately correct all accessibility deficiencies. So what does that mean? We need to prioritize. So priority has been given to facilities and public right-of-way which are high public use and or of high use by individuals with disabilities. The program and the plan update also designates Public Works Director Ray, that's me, as your ADA coordinator. Next slide, please. And, you know, just to give you some examples of what we're talking about here, in the top left, you see what looks like an accessible handicap ramp. We get these questions all the time. Why are you tearing out handicap ramps? Why are you spending city dollars fixing these ramps? Well, ADA compliance can be quite subtle. And so the ramp at the top left is actually not ADA compliant. Where you see a ramp in the middle top top right almost, you see a ramp with the yellow truncated domes, and there's a bunch of dimensions identified in there, not critical to know what those are, but there's a lot of features of that ramp that are required by Title II of the American with Disabilities Act to meet ADA compliance. Same with bottom right, you see a picture of City Hall early on, where we initially did the parking lot improvement project. We put up ADA parking facilities and signs, and it turns out we missed one. You know, it's very complex. And so on the left, you see sort of city standard, or I'm sorry, the Title II standards for ADA parking areas, including the signage, which is the part that we missed. There has to be a sign visible behind every parking space. So that has since been updated and already done, even though the council has yet to adopt the plan until tonight. Next slide, please. This looks like the same. Yeah, same slide. Going the other way, please. There we go. So what are the next steps? Well, so the next step is really for me and my staff to identify key personnel who need training on ADA requirements, and also who will be implementing the recommendations of this report and the self-evaluation transition plan update. Looking at the fiscal impact, well, this will require annual funding of the plan. Our staff has already provided a budget recommendation. You'll see that in your capital improvement program as well as in our operating budget. And we've recommended the council approve $100,000 every other year in the capital improvement program to implement the findings of our transition plan update. Plus, we also have costs included in current projects. For example, again, the major K-14 projects where we are doing corner ramps associated with the street work. Staff's recommendation is for the City Council to adopt the City of Grover Beach ADA self-evaluation and transition plan update. It's quite simple. Next slide, please. So with that, I'll turn it back to the council for questions or comments. And thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you for that presentation, Mr. Ray. And let's see if there's any questions from council members. We'll start with Council Member Robert.
I apologize. My mic doesn't disappear sometimes. No, I have no questions. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ray.
Very good. Council Member Miller.
Thank you for your presentation, Mr. Ray. My question is that the presentation focuses on physical modifications needed to meet ADA requirements, but it's my understanding that the plan also addresses identified barriers to equal access to programs, services, and events. Is that correct? So it goes beyond just the physical modifications.
That is correct, and that was an astute observation. And yes, certainly, you know, being your public works director, of course, I focused in on the public improvement portion of it. But yeah, part of that I mentioned in the next steps is really going to be digging into our programs and services. Definitely, there's quite a few recommendations in the report that affect those.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Councilor Mayor Pro Tem Brecht.
I don't really have any questions. I have some comments, but no questions. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that. And I did just have one question for Mr. Ray, and it really boils down to is there a document similar to the PCI documentation that we do for street improvements that allows us to track these improvements that we make, so that if there is a concern or question that does come up, we can show members of the public or members of who have questions, whether it's a public records request, that we have been making this progress and this subsequent improvements over the course of a year or 2 years or 5 years?
Yeah, so absolutely. So the plan itself documents the condition of, as you know, you saw the list of certainly public facilities. As Councilmember Miller pointed out, I didn't go into great detail on the program services and activities, but but it does the same for those. It documents your current level of compliance with Title II of the ADA, but it also provides a rather significant list of recommendations. And the great part is that DAC provided us with a software called DACTrack. And what that does is if any person calls in, for example, allows us to document their comments or complaints and resolution of those comments and complaints. And it also allows us to document our progress toward resolving these barriers to access. So, yeah, we're tracking it. This is almost like any other master plan that we have in the city, but added on top of it, as you noted, like our pavement management plan, for example, is this DACTrack software. And yeah, anybody can call in, and that's part of my new job now as the ADA coordinator. I say new job. I was already your ADA coordinator, but it's required to be, you know, redesignated every time the plan is readopted and updated. But, you know, that's what I'll be doing is inputting information in that program so people can see how we're doing. And we're doing great, by the way. We're eliminating barriers on a daily basis, so.
Very good. I appreciate that that clarification and that answer to that question. So let's see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this item. So if you would, please call in at 805-621-6639. And I'll check with our city clerk and see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this item.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you. Then I will close public comment on this item, bring it back to the council for comments and or direction. So I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright. Sounds like you had some comments.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for truly a very well-written agenda item. There was so much to it, but even still, it was easy to follow, and I wish you well with all of the recommendations and so on. But it sounds like you have a really good handle on that, so I appreciate that. It is really important, obviously, that we do allow access to everyone, to all of our residents and those who come to visit here. So. I just want to thank you for bringing this forward, and I appreciate all that you're doing to make sure that it is going to be accessible for everyone. And your last comment about the software tracking of the progress is, I think, just marvelous that there is such a thing, that we have that tool available to us. So thank you very much.
Thank you for those kind words. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for those. Next, we'll go to Councilmember Miller, see if she has any comments.
Thank you, Mayor Lee. So it is a huge undertaking, but it is important for us to continue to work to remove barriers that limit equal access for all. So thank you for the work that you do in making sure that the plan succeeds and that we continue to make these changes needed.
And Councilmember Robert.
Yes, that was an excellent report, Mr. Ray, and I appreciate your hard work. I know it's a very difficult task, and many cities have an ADA person that just does that because they change on a daily basis. And as Council Member Miller says, it's important that we keep updating those and making sure that it's accessible for everyone. And it's a very, very difficult job. And those are things that can't just be put aside till the next renovation. They need to be updated on a regular basis. Fortunately or unfortunately, however you may look at it, it does cost money, but we need to do it. And we appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you for all those comments. So I do see from our city clerk that we do have a member of the public that does want to speak on this item. So I will ask the council's indulgence and reopen public comment on this item and turn to our city clerk to bring in our public commenter on this item.
Yes, we have Mr. John Weisong.
Good evening, John.
Hello. Hello, I'm a 88-year-old Korean vet. I've been here for a long time. I came here when there were 900 people. This ADA, and wait, before that, I've only had two people on the council did anything for me, and that's Karen Bright and Robert. It's really sad when you get this age that the city is not there for you, but except for those two people. But this ADA, when you get 88 and you call the council and you ask them, what is ADA for? And I see handicap and I see signs handicap. And yet we have nothing on Brighton and Oak Park. That is horrible. I've been across the United States 25 times. I've been in thousands of cities, and I have never seen anything like Grover Beach. If that ocean wasn't out there, this town would be nothing. So explain ADA and handicap and signs and why they can't be put on Oak Park so I can get across. I lost my license. The veterans went and took it away from me because I'm too old. But I have a walker. And I can get across and go over to the business section in Arroyo Grande. You know, in my visit back there where I was born and raised, that I'm right across the Ohio line. And so the Indiana town and the Ohio town, they work together. That's the way it should be with Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. But we're segregated. You know, it's time to get up town and fix things so people can get there. So explain to me. But don't tell me you've checked that and the traffic committee found it wasn't feasible and it was done in July 2018. Boy, that's horrible to live in a town like this that they lie to you and a city manager. So explain that to me. ADA, why not on Oak Park?
Thank you, John, for calling in tonight. We will go ahead and close public comment unless the city clerk indicates that there's another member of the public that wants to speak on this item.
No, there are no other callers.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and close public comments and realize that Mr. Weisong has brought up some questions that I believe are best captured and responded to in the report. But I will allow either Mr. Bronson or Mr. Ray to briefly indicate that obviously the transition plan is for the benefit of the city. It is, I will let you guys speak in just a moment, but there is a transition plan. It should be noted that not every path is accessible. It is not appropriate nor in the best interest of the traveling public, in my opinion, to allow for unfettered pedestrian access across North Oak Park Boulevard or many of the major city streets within our city. So there is a transition plan to allow for pedestrians to move forward in locations that are appropriate for pedestrians. And perhaps I've said too much, but I will turn to Mr. Ray and see if there's anything else that needs to be added.
Well, I think you've captured most of it, Mayor Lee. You know, we're almost talking about two different things here. Certainly the ADA transition plan talks about really removing barriers to public access by disabled persons. And you know, understandably, major arterial roadways can be a barrier to a lot of things because of their width and the speed of traffic. In this particular instance, you know, we're talking about a crosswalk, or Mr. Weisong there is talking about a crosswalk, and that's really a different issue. Crosswalk is an issue of traffic and volume of traffic and speeds of traffic versus volume of pedestrians. And really need. And I would suggest, you know, that there are a number of really good community programs available to help people who are having access issues to get to goods and services that are maybe on the other side of an arterial. There's a local transportation programs through the small buses and through our local transit programs that are really exceptional at making sure that people have access and can get to those goods and services. So it's a little bit of apples and oranges, but you know, I understand that the frustration there, and you know, unfortunately, this is not something that the ADA transition plan does address.
Very good. I appreciate that clarification. And yes, it's a very good point that you bring up with regards to the existing community services that do help to overcome barriers for folks that do have that need. So I'll bring it back to the council, see if the public comment did generate any additional questions or comments. And we'll start with Councilmember Roberts. Okay. Councilmember Miller.
No questions. Thank you.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No additional questions for me. Thank you.
Very good. Then we'll go ahead and bring it back for action on this item, which is the recommended action is to review and adopt the City of Grover Beach Americans with Disability Act, ADA, self-evaluation and transition plan update. So let's see who's ready to make a motion.
I will make that motion that we adopt the City of Grover Beach Americans with Disability Act. Do I need to go on? Oh, self-evaluation and transition plan update. Sorry.
I'll second again.
Okay. So we have a motion and we have a second. Mr. Hale, I saw that you were moving forward. Did you have anything to add?
No, I didn't.
Sorry. Okay, very good.
No worries. I won't move forward anymore.
It's all good. So Madam City Clerk, roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. Thank you, everyone, for their work on that item. So that will take us to item number 8, which is an update and policy direction on Measure K14 street rehab program and sidewalk infill. And before I turn it over to our City Engineer Public Works Director, Ray, I'll remind people that if you do want to publicly comment on this item, please call in at 805-321-6639. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Ray.
And Mr. Ray, you're on mute.
Thank you so much. That was such a great introduction, too. I think I simply said thank you, Honorable Mayor Lee and Council, and to avoid similar mistakes to what I just made and to this becoming the Public Work Director Ray Show. I've asked Capital Projects Improvement Program Manager Aaron Wiggin to join me here tonight. Hopefully, if there are questions related to Measure K14 and the work that she manages on a daily basis, I'll direct those questions to her. But with that, I'll go ahead and start. We got a kind of a meaty item for you here tonight. First of all, we'll start with the status of your Measure K14 project. We're in the seventh year of this project, a project that was estimated to take roughly 25 years. And selling up to $48 million in bonds for repair of residential streets. Our 10th project or 10th phase is nearing completion in mid-May. Our 11th project or 11th phase will start at about the same time. Council, we're being kind of vague on that because council might remember we switched the order of phases 10 and 11. You know, to date, we've done over 216 city blocks. So in just 7 short years, we're over 50% done on the project. $28 million of the $48 million in bonds have been issued. So if you hear folks saying, you know, we're running out of money or we spent all the money and the project's done, you know, we've got an additional $20 million in bond sales that could be done to complete this project. And we've been averaging $4 million per year of investment in the City of Grover Beach streets. And it's starting to show. I mean, people are noticing, we're hearing about it. So it's a great program. Next slide, please. Staff has been implementing council policy direction for prioritization of Measure K-14 street projects, and that's really identified in this map you see here. It shows the completed streets. Those are in the darker blue, kind of greenish blue color. And it also shows streets that are either in progress or identified for a future phase of Measure K-14, and that would be through phases 16. These projects that you see before you on this map were developed based on really council's guidance. In 2018 and 19, the council developed a streets priority list based on quite a few factors, but they did develop that priority list, and it is published on our city website. These projects were developed to reflect that list. They also take into account locations of completed and or future utility repairs, certainly take into condition the pavement condition index and our recommendations from our pavement management system. And ultimately, we're looking, these programs look for opportunities to rehabilitate an entire street or a group of contiguous blocks. Next slide, please. Here you see North 14th Street. Literally, the pavement's probably still hot if you were to go out there. So, I mean, this is up-to-date work. Sousa Construction is paving North 14th here along with another few streets in Measure K-14 Phase 11. Next slide, please. And here you see the list of projects that we've laid out through Phase 16. As I mentioned, Phase 11, that's the picture you just saw, Phase 11. Phase 10 will start up in about May. And Phases 12 through 16 are identified here. And I won't go into individual streets. I think they're well represented on the map, but we can come back to this if we need to. Next slide, please. So in October, during a council meeting, there was a request to review the condition of Nacimiento Avenue. You notice that's on the far north end of Grover Beach and other streets in that surrounding area to see if we could identify a potential project. In anticipation of future work there, I'd note that the city has already most recently replaced the cross gutter at Nacimiento and 12th Street. That was done in 2020 to replace a cross gutter that was in really bad condition. So looking at the pavement condition index values, that's really just the condition of the street for those roadway segments in the Nacimiento Street area, we've identified the recommended treatments. And you'll note that, we've identified a number of streets: Ocean View Avenue, Nacimiento Avenue, Mono Court, Owens Court, Margarita Avenue, Angelo Terrace, Charles Street, and North 6th Street. Those are that block of streets in that northern area of the city near Nacimiento Avenue. And by and large, based on the pavement condition index, the recommendations for full depth repair, that's remove the existing pavement, rebuild the base course, and place new pavement. The last two streets listed, though, are really in good enough condition that they could do with just a grind and overlay, which is a great, money saver, of course, and buys you an additional roughly 20 years of pavement life. So moving on to the next slide, please. So also just to note that some of the streets have water mains that are in need of upgrade, or at least they're immediately adjacent to a waterline project. We have two waterline projects, CIP 4004 and 4267-2 coming your way. And so we would want to avoid work on those streets until we get that waterline work done. The affected streets would be Nacimiento Avenue, Angelo Terrace, Owens Court, and Mono Court. But I will say that in accordance with also council direction, we are prioritizing moving waterline projects ahead very quickly to stay ahead of these street projects. So with that, we'll note that phase 14 of Measure K-14 is a full depth rehab that includes nine blocks recommended for the project. And we're recommending that we combine the full depth rehab streets identified previously into this project to make it a 23 block project. It roughly doubles the cost of the project, about from about 1.8 million to a little over 3 million. But that's our recommendation, is that we capture those streets in with this project, which is still about a year or so out, so that we can get the water line done first. And then we note that phase 15 is identified as a grind and overlay project with roughly 10 blocks. And staff is recommending combining those two last streets identified on that previous slide that also need a grind and overlay into this project. And again, it creates a total project about 15 blocks and roughly doubles the cost of the project. And these are projects that would be carried out in the next 1 to 2 years, which we believe accelerates those projects in the Nasamuno area in accordance with council's interest in doing so. Next slide, please. So here's another map. So the project in the table I've been referring to, again, are projected to take place over the next 3 fiscal years. So we've got projects laid out for 3 years. That's great. This map shows the completed, those are the green projects, the current projects, those are shown in blue, those are the ones we're working on in phases roughly 12 through 16 is identified in that table. And then your remaining priority streets, those are streets that are still on your priority list that you developed back in 18 and 19 that we have not placed into a project yet. Those are the red ones shown here. That means if a street has no color shown with it, it is yet to be identified for a project in the future. Note, we will get to them. The money's there, the bonding fund is available, but they're just not in that up to phase 16 yet. So, you know, probably 17, 18 thereon. Just a note here, we'll get back to it again, that additional funding beyond our identified phase 13 will in fact require issuance of another bond. So we'll come back to that. Next slide, please. So now we're moving on to the next part of this rather meaty item, and that is our sidewalk infill policy. Staff has noted that council's major city goals include street improvement and public safety, with other important goals identified as pedestrian, bicycle, and traffic safety. There is, however, limited funding for sidewalk improvements or sidewalk infill. So it makes it important for staff to understand what locations are most important to our council and to select those appropriate locations for our limited funding. So the city has been doing infill projects at various locations, mostly with Measure K-14 and with other funding sources, such as the Safe Routes to School grant, which is a project we recently completed. With the city's positive fiscal condition, the draft CIP, the current one that's being recommended to council, allocates $250,000 for sidewalk infill in fiscal year 22, with an additional $50,000 allocated annually from there on out. The CIP also recommends an allocation of $50,000 annually for sidewalk repairs so we can keep our existing sidewalks in good condition and avoid those trip hazards and other things. These funding allocations are provided by the city's general fund, and that's the key thing to note here is that these, you know, we're talking about limited general fund money towards sidewalk repairs. Next slide, please. Couple pictures demonstrating what I just talked about. Here's sidewalk repairs on, it looks like, North 14th and South 10th Street. And I should say sidewalk infill on those two streets. And you'll see on the left-hand slide, there's new sidewalk going in. It's the dark gray, and you see the guy working around a utility pole there. But immediately adjacent to it is existing sidewalk. And that's the light gray color. And actually on the other side of it, there is too. And same in the photograph on the right. They're working on a corner ramp here with a piece of sidewalk infill sort of in the background. And then further beyond that, you see existing sidewalk. So that's what we mean when we're talking about sidewalk infill, kind of, you know, filling in the gaps between those existing sidewalk sections. Next slide, please. So also, you know, in talking about funding availability, other than the general fund, we've noted that the Department of Housing and Urban Development, what we call HUD, has announced the future availability of a CDBG, that's Community Development Block Grant, available as what they're calling an over-the-counter application. It means they supposedly simplified the process for us. That application is due in February of 2022. And in order to be eligible for those grant funds, the city will need to fund the design and have bid documents ready to go. We actually have to submit them with the grant application. That's a key point to note, and that you'll also notice in our capital improvement program recommendation, we've recommended the design of a sidewalk project. So, you know, we're trying to dovetail ourselves in with that process and be ready for that grant application when it becomes available. These funds could offset our general fund money, or they could simply supplement the general fund allocations currently recommended. Next slide, please. So, sidewalk infill policy. Staff is seeking council direction on sidewalk infill and priorities. Again, this is staff is trying to make sure that your limited general fund dollars go where you want them to go. And staff has identified what we believe to be some good priorities that you might consider. We would recommend infill near parks and schools as a pretty high priority, maybe the highest priority. We would recommend infill on major streets, those not included in major K-14 projects. You know, your major streets are really your major thoroughfares for pedestrian and vehicular traffic. I would note, though, that in some cases, those major streets do not have the correct right-of-way to allow us to do the sidewalk infill. So there may be some impediments there, but just, you know, letting you know that we think that would be a priority also. And then ultimately, as we have been doing, prioritize major K-14 streets. But we're recommending prioritizing those streets that already have approximately 90% of the sidewalk in place. You know, try to catch the low-hanging fruit and get those last little bits of infill. As an alternative, a council could also provide direction to staff to complete a citywide sidewalk survey. We have not done that yet, and we think that might be a good idea. And then we might prioritize sidewalk infill based on a grid system. And the idea there is that, you know, providing full-length sidewalk north to south, from the north to south city limits, and east to west, city limit to city limit, you know, on roughly every third block. And I'll say that's a guess right now because we've not done the sidewalk inventory, but we think that'd be pretty good if you had a city with every third block had a complete sidewalk north, south, east, west. You only have to walk one block in any direction, worst case, to have a sidewalk. You could just go straight to where you want to go. So I would note that based on the sidewalk survey that we may already be close to that. We may recommend that you go every block, or we may recommend that you go, you know, every fourth block if we find out that it's quite a bit bigger project than we think it is. Next slide, please. So the third sort of meaty part of this meaty item, and that involves sidewalk infill requests from property owners. So we receive these requests from property owners for sidewalk infill. And generally, if they're just random requests, we'll issue an encroachment permit if they provide sort of a design of what they're going to do. And then the property owner funds that design and construction. That's a pretty typical process. There's no incentivizing of it. It's just, if you want to do it, great. We'd appreciate that. We did, however, based on council direction, provide what we're calling the public-private partnership program that we have been implementing with the Major K-14 project. With that public-private partnership program, we basically fund the design. It's pretty easy to do that because we're designing streets end-to-end, corner ramps, in many cases driveway improvements, designing a little piece of sidewalk infill as part of that design efforts. Pretty straightforward and pretty cost effective. What happens is that the homeowner signs an agreement and agrees to pay for the construction work in full. And then they have to sign that agreement prior to the start of construction. The reason we do that is to avoid additional change orders and delays. Anything you do, you know, change the work in the middle of work is usually not good for the project and usually results in unexpected costs. So we ask them to sign an agreement before construction begins. And then we do the design work, we give them the final cost estimate, and then they agree to fund it. I want to note, and it's a little bit unfortunate, but I want to note that in many cases, we're seeing property owners, we do the design work, we present them with the cost, and they back out at the last minute. We just can't afford this. It's just too much. I think people are surprised by the cost of sidewalk improvements. They're not cheap. So just throwing that out there as we get to talking about recommendations for a public-private partnership program. Next slide, please. So again, staff has provided some recommendations to potentially modify the public-private partnership program. Again, what's the purpose of this program? I mean, theoretically, to incentivize sidewalk infill. You know, you have limited city funds available for this. If private parties are willing to come in and do a sidewalk infill, that helps us get to where we want to be. So what are these potential modifications? Well, the city could continue to fund design with the major K-14 projects, as we've been doing. And we could either, again, not fund construction, as we're doing now, or, as an alternative, the council could provide direction to fund some percentage of the construction costs. You know, throw a number out there, 25% of the construction cost, to try to incentivize people to become part of this program. Another option would be to simply forget about just Measure K-14. We'll just fund design for all infill requests, private infill, sidewalk infill requests. And then you could even go further and fund some percentage of construction for all infill requests, not just Measure K-14. Third option would be that the city only funds 8% of the construction costs, and that the private property owner would be responsible for the design costs. That gets back to that we talked about earlier, this sort of small failures that we've been having with the program. So city would fund construction, but not the design, and some portion of construction. Staff is recommending that option three based on our experience with the property owners requesting design but not pursuing the project when bids are prepared. It's a lot of work that we end up kind of, you know, holding the bag for. So staff would seek the council direction for the most important, which of these versions or a combination of these possible programs would you like, and what percentage do you think the council would like to see, from none to some percentage that incentivizes the private-public partnership? Next slide, please. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff there. Kind of really four major things for the council to consider. And so we've prepared this summary slide here to help the council focus their thoughts and help provide that direction that we're seeking. So reminder again that we're looking at combining the Nacimiento streets into two phases that have already been identified. These are projects that will happen over the next 2 to 3 years. We're seeking council direction if they would like to prioritize additional streets so that we have lists that go out, say, 4 or 5 years. We could do that. And you could provide, you know, new direction on which streets are important to you at this time. We'd like council direction on prioritizing areas for sidewalk infill. And like we said, we provided you a couple of options to consider, as well as an option of doing a citywide sidewalk survey and creating sort of a grid system. And then finally, this is this public-private partnership or these sidewalk infill requests. And we provided council a couple of options to consider. So that's quite a bit. I think that's all I have to say, and I'll return it back to the mayor. Thank you, Mayor Lee, and be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Ray, for that presentation. And it's, as you said, it's a lot of information, but I think I'd like to maybe grasp it in maybe three or four different bites, if we could. And let's start with the K-14 priorities. And I do have an echo in my ear, so I'm not sure if that's me or if that's someone else. I'll just ask if anyone else is hearing that, so I apologize. So from that perspective, let's see if the prioritization of K-14 streets was basically 2295, 14 and 15. So let's see if there's any specific questions on that. We'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
I don't have any questions regarding that particular segment of this item. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Councilmember Roberts.
I do not have any questions either at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Miller.
No. Thank you.
Very good. So it sounds like from that perspective, we'll come back to a discussion on that after public comment. So is there any questions for staff with regards to either priority streets or the possibility of maybe direction coming back from staff coming back later this year with respect to additional bond funding. So let's we'll kind of go in reverse order this time and see Councilmember Miller. Actually, this would be the priority streets for next subsequent next rounds of K-14 funding, and then also since those anything after 2295-13 is going to need additional funding, is there any questions on coming back to the council with additional funds for from a bond measure or from this bond measure?
Thank you for clarifying questions.
Okay, very good. Councilmember Roberts.
Is that bond money already been approved for that?
So I'll turn it over to either Mr. Ray or Mr. Brunson to respond to that. Mr. Ray.
I'd be happy to. Thank you. So you have the authority through the original approval to issue bonds up to $48 million total. The way that works is they're issued in blocks, small blocks. The last block was actually a pretty big block. It was $15 million, maybe a little more than we would want to do next time. It's what happens is we're supposed to spend most of those blocks in just a couple of years. Otherwise, we start getting kind of curious questions from the bond, the people who buy and sell and you know administer the bonds. But yeah, so we're at a point where while we have approval to do it, we would need to sell another block of bonds to extend this program beyond roughly 2023.
Okay. Thank you.
And I would just add, Mr. Ray, that the process to issue or sell another bond is a prolonged process. It involves securing a financial advisor, working with underwriters, securing bond counsel. There are several council meetings and resolutions and hearings that must be held in order to issue this. So it's not an action that takes place immediately. It takes place over the course of many months. We're just highlighting the fact that at the current rate of spending in making repairs that the community has asked for, we will be seeking additional funding to continue the activity beyond this next year. So hence the request from staff for the council to consider providing us direction to bring that back to you all in late 2021.
Which the voters have approved.
Correct. Voters have approved the issuance of up to $48 million in bond funding, and thus far we've issued $28 million.
I understand. Thank you.
Very good. Councilor Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No questions. Thank you.
Very good. So, and I'll just add a kind of a confirming question of Mr. Bronson is that the bond measures that have been funded to date have all been better interest rates than were expected during the course of the Measure K-14 bond presentation. And so we're actually ahead of schedule with respect to being able to fund under our current released bonds. Is that a fair statement?
That is fair, Mr. Mayor. I would add that not only have the bond ratings and the interest rates been better than what was originally projected because of our financial acumen, the level of reserves, our very prudent financial management, but also the amount of property tax that goes onto our bill is also less than projected because of the higher assessed valuation of our community. We've been averaging a 5% increase every year in assessed valuation for the last several years. So the amount of money that property owners are paying is actually less than what was projected, and we're able to do the streets faster and with greater movement than we have been before. So it really is a great combination of factors that is allowing us to push out this work quickly, and we look forward to being able to continue the flow of activities in the next several years.
Very good. Thank you for that clarification. So that'll take us to our kind of shifting gears from streets to sidewalk questions, and let's see if anyone has any questions on either of the sidewalk programs, which was, as Mr. Ray mentioned, a program to where either a pre-design for in order to take advantage of upcoming CDBG funding, perhaps a citywide sidewalk survey, and then also a potential for sidewalk infill in a public-private partnership. Let's see if there's any questions before we go out to the public. So we'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Yes, please. I'm wondering, since it is community development block grant funding, do we have any idea what the size of those that grant might be?
We do. Well, at least we know we have an up to figure, and I believe it's up to a little over $2
million. Okay, so it's sizable.
It is sizable. You know, I don't know, you know, waterline projects is what we've been doing, and they've been highly competitive. Mm-hmm. I really can't speak to how competitive a sidewalk infill project will be. I guess it just sort of depends on what other projects are out there. But you know, we're optimistic, and we would, we'll definitely apply for it. So, yeah, it would be either, and as I mentioned in the report, it would either be an offset for the general fund money that's currently identified, or it could be in addition to, so it could really accelerate the program.
Okay, so then you've said that we have never done a sidewalk inventory. Is that correct?
All right. Well, I say that. There was one, I have found records of one that was done, it looks like in the 70s. I think it would be mostly irrelevant at this point.
I would say, I'd say you're probably right about that. So then I guess my other question would be, in order to apply for a grant like that, would it not be beneficial for us to know where we are in order to know where we need to go, where we need to get to?
I'm going to take from that, you mean, should we have a sidewalk inventory so we're prepared? I would say it's not necessary. You're looking at about, I think we've thrown this number out there, you know, each side of a block is roughly $40,000 for sidewalk infill. You know, that's an average price. So each side of the block, so $80,000 per block. $2 million could be spent fairly quickly.
Sure.
I think what we would do, we would probably recommend, though, that, yeah, maybe we do the sidewalk inventory and use that as a background for, you know, identifying a project for that. Or we could simply look at projects that we already, like we said, the priorities we've already identified, and just look for locations near schools, major streets. I think big part of that would be considering sidewalks on major streets is because major K-14 is not impacting those. So, you know, kind of two ways to possibly look at that. Offset existing funding with projects we've already sort of asked you to prioritize, or go ahead and do the sidewalk inventory and use that to develop a project.
Okay. Well, those really were my questions at this point. Thank you very much. I appreciate the information.
Certainly. And next we'll go to Councilmember Roberts for sidewalk questions.
Yeah, just a quick question, Mr. Ray. What is the survey cost in a city our size, the sidewalk survey? Approximately.
Heck, that's a good question.
We're such a small city. I just wonder if it's necessary to have the survey. You could probably name most of those blocks off the top of your head. We're so
small.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm certainly, you know, anybody who's lived in Grover Beach for a while, or anybody who's worked in Grover Beach for a while, could probably certainly name a solid handful of locations that need sidewalk. I think to have a complete inventory, especially to identify what I call the low-hanging fruit, those blocks that only have a small bit of infill left, I would suggest a full sidewalk survey. And I think maybe it would take into account other things like, you know, disability access barriers, even, you know, are there areas of sidewalk that even though they exist really should be done differently? Tough question to answer, but given my recent experience with design efforts, maybe as much as $40,000, hopefully half that.
Okay. I agree with Councilmember Pro Tem, right, that we should have some plan, because a plan is always good. Okay, thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Miller.
Thank you. I have the same thought process. I think having a sidewalk survey to inform us
on where we are currently will help us determine next steps or what the priorities should be, could be. My question is, how long would it take for us to implement the survey and have it have results completed?
To be safe, I'd say a month and a half. You know, it provided council direction to do that. We would seek proposals, which would take a couple weeks at least. And then, you know, usually about a half a month to get a project off and running from scratch like that. A design project is really what it is. And then maybe another half a month to get it completed. So month and a half.
Okay, very good. And just had a question or two as well in the fact that with respect to the CDBG block grant application, so we could develop plans with or without a sidewalk inventory that could be chosen as part of the CDBG funding. Is that correct?
Yeah, so you know, I've sort of presented two ways of looking at it. One is just tell us what areas are most important to you. And then we would just start looking at those areas and say, okay, where do you need sidewalk? And we just keep tallying it up until we get to roughly $2 million in sidewalk work and say, here's our project and we're applying for the money and hopefully we get it. That same kind of direction would also allow us to continue to spend the money that you already have identified in your budget, or at least proposed for your upcoming budget. So we would continue to implement that in that way. Or we can do a sidewalk survey and council can look at that sort of a map like we have our streets map and say, oh, I want to infill here, here, and here, and here, and here. So it's really two ways of looking at it. One's maybe a little faster. We just kind of get right to work and say, here, we think these are some good places you should put your sidewalk money. The other one's, here's a great map. Now what do you want to do?
So it sounds like from that perspective, it's almost as if staff would effectively do a quasi-inventory based upon your knowledge of the city, or we could have a consultant do a formal inventory for that. And then either way, we develop a project from either the staff inventory or the consultant inventory. Is that a fair statement?
Sounds like a fair characterization, yes.
Okay. And Mr. Mayor, if I can just add up a point, just to add to the point about the timing, given the CDBG process of February 22 for the application date, it is not a true competitive process as much as it is an over-the-counter process around timeliness, because they will take the first, say, 10 projects that are submitted and are shovel-ready, and then they will review from there, but it is based on speed, based on accuracy, based on ability to submit your project on time. And this most recent round of the waterline improvements, we were in that batch that got it in shovel ready within that time period. So I think whatever we end up doing with the council's direction, we will work towards getting a project to you that can be then submitted by February 2022 so that we can maximize our chance of being funded for this over-the-counter application.
So, and to confirm, as Mr. Ray mentioned, there is an item in the proposed 21-22 budget that would allow for the design effort to be started in advance of that February, or be completed in advance of that February timeframe for successful submittal, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So then let me ask one question on the sidewalk infill, the quote-unquote public-private partnership. And I was trying to grasp how much effort we've expended as a city that doesn't get turned into sidewalks. I mean, would you say that it's been a 10% success rate of those that we've designed that haven't turned into actual concrete on the ground, or is it much higher or much lower?
Roughly 30% success.
Okay. Okay. So about 70% of folks that we design into the projects make the choice not to move forward with the construction. Okay.
I mean, the numbers approach tens, you know, it's usually not $10,000, but you know, it's $5,000 to $10,000, and people just generally balk at that.
Okay, very good. So let's before we go out to the public, let's see if by raise a hand if that raised any additional questions on any of the four items. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
So now I'm a little confused now on the sidewalk inventory. I guess I would like to know from staff perspective, would it be more effective and efficient for you to have a sidewalk inventory prepared and done by an outside firm? Or would it be quicker and easier for an informal inventory to be done by in-house? Which would be better in your opinion, you're the one who's there, boots on the ground doing it and having to get the plans done and all that submitted, and not only that, but getting information from us as a council, you know, which side of us you want done, which ones you want done. What would be, in your professional opinion, the best way to get this thing rolling and get the information needed so that we can have the everything you need to be ready for that CBDG deadline?
And I'll add on to the question, if I might, Mayor Pro Tem, also consider staff capacity and other work products that you're working on as you're thinking of how best to respond to that, just to make sure that we understand how it's going to impact your workload and your workflow.
Yeah, so we've identified a pretty aggressive and optimistic capital improvement program, largest capital improvement program this city's ever seen, for certain.
No.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you're giving me the opportunity to hedge my bet a little bit, I'd say we hire a consultant, have them do a sidewalk inventory, and that gives me a little more confidence that we'll be successful with this rather large capital improvement program. I mean, I know I'm working with the city manager, and we're going to make sure we have the resources and the time to get these things done. But sure, I'd probably prefer the sidewalk inventory from an outside consultant.
And I will not hedge my comments and say that is, I believe, the best approach for not only from a staff workload standpoint in delivering on this expansive CIP project with blocks and blocks of streets and park improvements, other facilities, but to also have an outside set of eyes to be able to provide that expertise that will go along with what we see every day. So I think it is the best approach to have somebody from the outside work on this along with other infrastructure work we do, and then we could add in our own on the ground perspective as well.
Thank you. That was my thought, but then I wasn't sure when the mayor was asking about people who've lived here and so on and so on. But that was my thought. I just wanted to make sure that wasn't just my thought. Okay. Thank you very much.
Very good. And Councilmember Robert, I see your hand raised.
So if I understand this correctly, if we're going to go for that $2 million grant, these projects need to be shovel ready. So the more you're prepared, the more chances we have to get this money. Correct? Okay.
I mean, it's really, we don't have an option of being partially prepared. We have to be prepared completely. Designs have to be done. We submit the design with the application.
And I believe that if they see what we're doing to our city, we'd be more favorable to get those grants with all the improvements we've done with the roads. So
we've been remarkably successful on the waterline side, and I mean remarkably.
Yeah.
I'm Matt, if I'm right, I think we're almost 5 million?
I believe so, Mr. Ray. And just to remind the council that we have a great track record, but this is still not a sure thing. We want to put our best foot forward. And like the waterline improvements, we went into it believing that even if we didn't get the grant funding, we had the water lines designed and we'd be able to achieve the progress over time just with different funding sources. So the same thing is true here. If we don't get this grant, we still would have sidewalks designed that we would chip away at through other funding sources. And we still have funding in our budget, again, for this next fiscal year to make a number of sidewalk improvements around Grover Beach Elementary School and other areas so that we can chip away at this progress. This grant would allow us to accelerate those improvements for the next couple of years.
Very good. Thank you.
And Councilmember Miller, any additional questions?
Thank you.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and open this up to public comments on this item. So if you do have any public comments on this, please call in at 805-321-6639. And I'll turn to our city clerk and see if there's any members of the public on the line.
Yes, we have Kelly Phillips.
Hello. Good evening, Ms. Phillips.
Hello. I am a resident of Grover Beach, and I had tried to research this myself initially on the website, but I live on a street that's not yet on the schedule for the street improvements. And so I think I have answered my own question by watching this whole section, but I'd like to confirm since I went ahead and I think figured it out. So I live on Griffin. And I believe Griffin is in the red. Well, it is red because I saw that on the map. That wasn't on the map that I could find on the website. So my understanding is that it's not been identified yet for a future project. Really, that's just telling me that it's being recognized as a street in Grover Beach that needs to be considered. And that there will be additional bonds needed to fund it. Do I have that correct?
And thank you for your comments. And we will kind of capture everybody's comments and then respond after public comments. So we have captured that, Ms. Phillips. Let's see if there's anything else that you wanted to share with us tonight.
No, thank you. I appreciate you guys being so transparent. It's very helpful.
Certainly. Very good. Thank you for your comments. And we'll, as mentioned, after we get all public comments, we'll bring it back to it looks like Mr. Ray is going to be able to respond to your question. So, but I'll turn to our city clerk and see if there's any other members of the public that want to speak on this item.
Yes, we have John Wysong.
Good evening, John. Hello. Good to hear you again.
Hello. Yes. On this street business, my street, right, was put in the first street that was put in, and that was because the city manager lived on it, and then a city council lady. But they didn't put sidewalks in on both sides. This street is busy with people walking and jogging. And from what I hear from people, that they don't like Newport, and they don't drive on Newport, and they don't walk on Newport, they walk here. So why not put the sidewalks in Brighton, because they should have been put in when the street was. And we had a city manager, ex-city manager living here. Can you explain that for me? I'll listen.
Thank you for those comments, John. So I'll turn back to our city clerk and see if there's any other members of the public that want to speak on this item.
No, we have no one else on the line.
Very good. Thank you. I will go ahead and close public comment on this item and bring it back to, we'll start with Mr. Ray with regards to Ms. Phillips' question regarding the schedule of Griffin.
So astute observation, definitely. Griffin is one of the red streets on the map, which means that it was identified in the council street prioritization process, but it is not currently included in a scheduled project or a phase, one of the phases. One little side note, though. Most of Griffin is not a city street. And so that's sort of a side note that actually applies to the three red cities, three red industrial area streets you do see on the prioritization map. For whatever reason, the original developer did not dedicate those as city streets. Now, there's bits and pieces of them that are, and it's so scattered that it would be difficult to describe, but it is an issue. You know, we sort of think they need to be city streets. You know, we would probably need policy direction from the council ultimately on this, but there's been internal discussion at staff level to resolve that problem so that we could, in fact, do a paving project on those. So one of the reasons they're not currently shown on any of the phase projects is that we really can't pave them right now. They're not ours.
Definitely appreciate that that understanding, which I did not have before, with the fact that Griffin was not entirely a city street, because I had always had recalled that because of the level of construction and activity expected from the cannabis industry, we were anticipating some sewer connections and some sewer improvements, which was going to lead to Griffin, Huber, and Hudson, Huston, rather, being future streets in that. But it sounds like maybe under council discussion, we may have a policy request to kind of resolve that in a timely as fashion as necessary. So, so when it comes to where Ms. Phillips lives on Griffin, and I'm not sure if the city clerk captured her information, but perhaps we can reach out to her and find out where she lives on that street and provide additional information for her. So, so then with regards to Mr. Weisong's comments on sidewalks, I think that gets back to our, just our discussion on either the sidewalk program or the sidewalk infill. So I don't know either Mr. Ray or Mr. Bronson, if there's anything specific that you needed to, address to Mr. Weisong's comments.
I think I could add one little thing if I may, Mayor Lee, and that is that, you know, when we've talked about sidewalks in the past and limited funding, I think what we heard and the guidance we have had so far is, can we just at least get sidewalk on one side? You know, noting that sidewalks are very expensive and we didn't have the funding previously to do it. You know, could we get sidewalk on one side? And we looked to one side or the other that had the least amount of infill needed and said, yeah, we can do a couple infills and get sidewalk on one side. So Brighton's a good example of that.
Very good. Appreciate that. Great. So with that, let's bring it back to the council for direction on the various items. So I think the first thing is, and perhaps Mr. Ray, not sure if we need to bring up our four number items, but let's make sure that I capture them correctly. The first one was direction or concurrence to include so Ocean View and a couple of other streets into 2295-14 and then a series of other streets into 2295-15. Hopefully I'm getting those numbers correct. Any concern on the council's part to do that reshifting of prioritization? Seeing concurrence by nodding of heads or shaking of heads, it sounds like that is a good direction. So I will add a question for the council because, as Mr. Ray mentioned, Project 13 would be the one that would kind of exhaust our existing bond funds under those that have been issued. And so is there concurrence by the council to request staff come back later this year or in the next fiscal year for a consideration of additional bond issuance? Okay, looks like I'm seeing shaking heads concurrence all around on that. And then the last item on streets would be the prioritization. So is there I think that's attachment number two to this staff report, to where the red items So if I understand correctly, Mr. Ray, we've identified a good number of the existing streets. So there's the red streets that have priority streets that haven't been addressed yet on the exhibit. And then there's a series of streets that are not included on kind of any identification at this point. So from a council standpoint, realizing on attachment two, we've included Ocean View, Model Court, Santa Margarita. And so those will now get the appropriate colorization. But from a future identification, I think I remember in the staff report, if you wanted to group parts of the city that don't have, or to complete the remaining streets in the identification. So perhaps what my thought is do we create four more projects effectively that take the northwest part of the city and anything that's not there, kind of group that. Take the northeast part of the city, do the same thing, southwest, southeast, and basically effectively have one more round of projects that identify the remaining streets. Let's have some discussion on that kind of approach from a council standpoint, see if there's any concurrence or any significant questions. And I see Mayor Pro Tem Bright has turned on her microphone.
Thank you. That just makes me wonder if there may be some underlying reasons why those streets have not been addressed, much like Griffin, for example. So I'm wondering if maybe we shouldn't have some other, maybe a discussion on those streets. I don't know if this would be an appropriate time because I would have questions. I have questions about those streets, why they haven't been addressed. You know, do they have issues? Is there some other reason why? So that would just be my only issue with that.
Very good. And maybe I'll turn to either Mr. Bronson or Mr. Ray to see if there's an easy response to that question.
I think there is. To sort of simplify it for tonight, because you know, we could get into a pretty big conversation about each street and do we want to pick that street. As Mayor Lee, you've alluded to, we were sort of recommending we start thinking at this point. We're so far along, we start thinking about what major zones need to be filled in. If with that concept in mind, I will say that, yes, there's a handful of streets that have no color on that map because they have a pending sewer line project or a pending water line project that's still a year or two out in the CIP. Or maybe some other reason, like, for example, we don't own them. It might be a private street, which we could, of course, resolve with council direction. Certainly there's going to be a handful of streets where I think if you gave us broad direction to develop a handful of projects based on, say, the zoning concept, we'd come back to you and say, okay, here's zone one, except this street's going to have to wait a few years. And here's zone two, and maybe these two streets are going to have to wait, and so on and so forth. And so we might have a sort of, again, like we see before you now with phases 12 through 16, they're sort of laid out in order, and we would do something similar and say, well, you know, phases 18 and 19 are going to be those streets that we still have to get things done in, and then those zones will truly be complete, but we'll get most of it complete in an earlier phase. So that maybe helps you.
And maybe just to add from a more general standpoint, one thought is that we could take the direction the council provided in considering another bond in the process to do that later this year and bring back one or maybe more agenda items before that point and really fleshing out the remaining streets and really getting into, as Greg mentioned, underlying water and sewer work that's needed, or are some of the streets private and therefore they're not on our map because they're not public streets, or some of the streets, major streets, that wouldn't be included within this inventory. And to kind of have that come forward over the next several months so that council ultimately landed on a set of upcoming projects that was pending the additional bond issuance that the council would be considering by late 2021, so that you had a game plan of additional streets as we get closer to this ultimate goal of 100% of local streets rehabbed as part of the K14 program. So rather than diving into that tonight, I wonder if the council could provide broad direction on remaining streets, and then we could take some time as staff and really look at different areas and bringing back some agenda items to you at appropriate times to help prepare for that.
May I respond?
Of course.
Thank you. I think that would be certainly agreeable. I would be agreeable to that. I think not only that, but if you were able to do that later on, I think also that would be very beneficial to the people who live on those streets. For example, Miss Phillips, now she knows that possibly, you know, her street's going to have to wait for a bit until we sort that out. So other people, too, who, you know, look at that map, they will know later on why their street maybe isn't getting done right now or why their street isn't on a list yet. So that would be, I think, very helpful for everybody. So thank you for that suggestion.
And I think that that is in keeping with where I think my desired approach was on with my suggestion is not to set streets this evening, but to kind of provide direction to staff to move forward with completion of the program thought so that we can actually identify 100% of the streets as quickly as possible so that people do know when we're going to get to their street. So, but Councilmember Robert, I did see a kind of a thumbs up somewhere in the middle there. So I'm anticipating concurrence, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to share anything else that you might want to.
No, I agree with everything you discussed. I think a broader view right now is more important, but we do need to have a plan to narrow it all down and see where the funds are going. So yes, I agree with Mayor Pro Tem Wright. Do what we're doing tonight. Thank you.
Very good. And then Councilmember Miller.
No additional questions. Thank you.
Okay. So it sounds like that's concurrence from the council to proceed with a consideration item for future agenda to talk about the bonding amounts and then kind of how to complete the identification of streets under the K14 program. Okay, so before we go to sidewalks, anything additional on K14 priority or funding discussion from staff level? Very good, okay, great. Then go ahead, Mr. Ray.
Oh, no, I was just going to say no, thank you. I'm taking down direction, and I feel like we've got good direction so far. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Great. Then that will take us to our sidewalk program. So let's start with the, I'll call it the CDBG secure funding program. And there was some questions around sidewalk surveys and so forth. So it sounded like staff would be more comfortable with a consultant-driven approach. Just based upon existing funding, existing workload, and so forth. Let me make sure that before I get concurrence from the council for that, that is in fact what staff was kind of heading towards.
Yes.
Okay. So I see some nodding heads, which is a good thing. And so let's see if there's concurrence by the council for that approach. Okay. So seeing concurrence from the council as well. So we will go ahead and have staff move forward with a sidewalk survey in anticipation of putting forth a potential construction document program in order to be in line to submit shovel ready projects by February of 2022. Everybody in agreement with that? Okay, seeing lots of concurrence, we'll acknowledge that. And so next comes to sidewalk infill. And perhaps before we get to sidewalk infill, and I don't know if the thought process comes into my brain, sidewalks and bike paths. So realizing that we do have a number of locations. And maybe a question for Mr. Ray is, realizing that the CDBG funding associates itself with sidewalks, was there any indication that bike paths or bike lanes could be included in that funding source as well, or would that be another infrastructure component?
Not that I saw. I think I would have noticed if that had been included in the description of eligible activities, but I'm certainly willing to look again. And we could, you know, if needed, we could bring that back to council for further discussion.
Okay, gotcha. Because my, I guess my, where my brain went is Ramona is kind of one of the ones that we haven't done too much work on these days. We've got some identified projects and so forth, but obviously that leads from Ramona Garden Park and through some of our off of Grand Avenue with bike lanes, and that might be a good opportunity for a bike lane consideration if it's not already part of our bike program.
Yeah, I know we're kind of trying to stay out of some of the weeds tonight, but Ramona is one of those streets. It has a major sewer line project that's planned for a future date. So we've been sort of putting it on the back burner, unfortunately.
Gotcha. Understood. Okay. Always good just to kind of keep that in the forefront of our mind that Ramona is going to be one of our big streets. So, okay. So that takes us over to our sidewalk infill public-private partnership type of discussion. And have to admit, I don't know if I have a strong feeling one way or the other on this. And so I'd be curious to see. Mr. Bronson has turned his microphone on to see if he wants to give us some kind of guidance and ground rules.
I think the council is well equipped to provide such guidance and ground rules. I'll just add that from the staff perspective, we brought this for you just to give you some options to consider. We don't go into this necessarily with a need to have to recommend a change beyond the option three that Mr. Ray mentioned that might make the program easier to accelerate sidewalk improvements if that was a priority for the council with this particular area. But we don't go into this needing to make a particular change if the council did not feel it was in the best interest for us to make a change in this program. There are different models that you could operate. My previous city had a 50% of construction model, but that was a significant general fund outlay that really is a sizable cost. So again, just to leave it to the council that we'll take whatever guidance that you provide on this particular item to help fashion what makes the most sense for our city at this time.
I appreciate that. Let's see if anyone has burning thoughts that they want to share. So I'll start with Councilmember Miller just to see if there's any guidance or thoughts that you have on sidewalk infill.
Sure, we have a thought on that. First question, the public-private program for sidewalk infills, that is in addition to whatever sidewalk infill that the city is doing. This is the property thing. You know, you might be working on this street, but my street, I need a sidewalk and I'd like to put one in. Is that right?
That is. I mean, even to the extent that we may be paving your street and doing the sidewalk on the other side based on council policy direction. But yeah, we're not doing your side, unfortunately. And somebody says, I really want sidewalk in front of my house.
That makes sense. Thank you. So given that information, I think if the objective is to incentivize property owners to put in sidewalk infills, I think it makes sense for the city to fund a percentage of the and I'll map throughout 50%, that the number I actually had in mind before Matt, I mentioned that another city that he's familiar with was covering 50%. I would be supportive of three at 50%.
And I apologize, Councilmember Miller, you were breaking up there, so I'm not sure, Mr. Ray, were you able to, I think I heard fund 50% of construction, so but was there more to that?
There's a bit more, but just fluff. 50% of construction is good.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Okay, very good. Next we'll go to Councilmember Roberts, see if there's items under this sidewalk infill.
Well, this is, to me, it's quite complicated.
because we have so many options. It's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Ray, that there's typically the sidewalks are the responsibility of the homeowner. Is that correct?
It is. And when it typically happens, either you have just a super motivated homeowner who really just wants sidewalk in front of their house, or our development code, which is a part of the city municipal code, does require public, we call them public frontage improvements, if you do a significant remodel or addition. That's where we really see most of it. We see, you know, a large addition and or a new house being built, and yeah.
Is it feasible not to put sidewalk in front of an empty lot? Is that typically, if we were to do sidewalks and stop at an empty lot, because there's going to be a house built there, require them to do it, is that something that I'm sure is an option? Is that feasible?
It's feasible. It's an option. It certainly gets into some interesting policy questions, which I try to avoid.
Now, we talk 50%, and I like that idea as well. Are we talking 50% of us doing the project and the homeowner paying 50%, or them doing the project and we pay 50%?
It would be a city-constructed project.
Okay.
Well, no, actually, I mean, I take that back. With Measure K-14, it would end up being lumped into the construction. Outside of Measure K-14, it would be a privately funded, privately constructed project, and we would have a reimbursement. I'm sure that will bring up some other interesting questions as to how much city funds are involved and whether it needs to be prevailing wage. But, you know, these are all things. With some direction tonight, we can bring you back a program based on some percentages, and we can flesh all those details out. We don't have to get into that level of detail. Just, are you interested in incentivizing? And if you are, how much do you think? And then we can chew on that and bring something back to you.
Because I do like the incentivize, and I also like the private construction and something as we prepare the plan and give them to them so they're all consistent and the quality is there. Because I know the prevailing wage can be 3-4 times as much as a private contractor can do it for us. And that usually puts the people out of the ballpark of wanting to do it. So they're not incentivized to do it. So, okay, but we can work those details out later. Okay, thank you. That's it.
Okay, very good. And then turn it over to Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Well, I am in favor of option 3 as well. I wasn't quite at 50%, but if that's what my colleagues are interested in doing, then I would go along with that. I like it. So I guess that's really all that you need from me. Is that correct? Don't need me to go on and on, do you?
I think that's a good direction. So I guess I'm in kind of the same boat, but both Mr. Ray and Mr. Bronson had mentioned kind of an element, and maybe I'd like to get just a little bit of clarification. So for K-14 streets that we're actually actively doing work on, the council makes a decision whether to include sidewalks in the design plans and in the construction plans. And there are times where we've either, as a city, made the determination that that is going to be in the best interest of the project, and so we've included that. There's other times where we said just one side or just the other side, and then we've let the kind of the private project kind of drive that thought. Or we've had safe routes to school programs that have driven that thought. Is that do we need to kind of differentiate between the two, a K-14 project and a non-K-14 project for your direction?
I don't feel like you do. I mean, we're really talking about, you know, we present to the council with the Measure K-14 project the option of sidewalk infill. We tell you, look, you've got this much in the budget this year for sidewalk infill from the general fund. This is how much you can do. We think this is where you might want to do it just based on the funding or kind of, you know, how the street feels in terms of its functionality. And then there's a lot of sidewalk that's just left that can't be done as part of those projects. And there's, so there's infill places, there's entire blocks in some cases that don't have sidewalk on one side. So I don't think we need to deal with that because that's already dealt with in the other process of approving the Measure K-14 project. We're really just talking about, do people want to get involved? Do we want to incentivize, whether inside or outside of the project?
Gotcha. Okay. Appreciate that. So that clarification. So I think from that perspective, I kind of heard that we all have a desire to incentivize sidewalks in some fashion. So we may be getting a different percentages, but so forth. But so let's just kind of by a show of hands or whatnot, are we all comfortable with moving forward with some level of incentivization? So of that. Okay, so I got three, and there's Councilmember Robert. Okay, so now I've heard 50% from Councilmember Miller. So are we all good with proceeding on that path, or do we want to try a different number? So just to, I think from my perspective, I'm okay starting at 50% and seeing what kind of interest we get in the program. Up to the point of obviously the amount of funding that we have available. So anybody want to have a discussion on that?
Can I have a question? May I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe, I'm not even going to say this, what is the average cost of the sidewalk improvement? Just general average cost. Can you tell that? Can you tell me?
For a single property?
Yes, please.
It's around $7,000 for the construction alone.
Okay. Construction alone. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So are we all kind of okay at the 50% to kind of get us to the starting point of this program? Okay. Very good. So then from that perspective, does that give you, Mr. Ray or Mr. Bronson, kind of good policy direction on this item?
Yes, I believe it does, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Thank you to the council. We hear the direction around incentivizing sidewalk construction, and we hear the interest in option three and starting with a 50% threshold. As we develop a program around this, we'll bring that back to you for formal approval at a later meeting. So this is the policy direction to consider that further. We'll also be looking at options around funding for this, as similar cost-sharing programs do have a certain amount of money that's established in that program. And when that fund is tapped out, then no further requests would be funded at that point. But we'll identify some dollar amounts and bring that back to the council at a later meeting.
Okay, so I'm kind of hearing a cash for grass type of program implementation, correct? Okay, very good. So great. Before we close this item, I did get an item from our city clerk that there is one other public commenter on this item. So realizing we've given some good policy direction, let's see what our public commenter has to say on this. So Madam City Clerk, if you'd bring in our commenter, please.
Yes, we have Krista Jeffries.
Hi again. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can. Thanks for joining us again.
I just wanted to put a bug in the ear to the council. I know you guys have had some good direction on this item. I apologize. I had to step out for part of the meeting. But since we're talking about streets, I wanted to bring up the idea of looking at more streets as being pedestrian and bike priorities. Particularly my street. I live on Ramona Avenue. It's a pretty bad road. And we have the bus depot and Ramona Park on our street. And I just saw a 20-unit apartment building go up across the street. I can count on all of my hands and toes and fingers the number of people that I see walking by my house every day. And I love that. It's also a very unsafe street to walk on and bike on, not only because the road is bad quality and there aren't a lot of sidewalks, but because people use Ramona and Long Branch as an alternative to Grand Avenue, particularly Ramona. So people go really fast. They don't stop at stop signs. They come around curbs really fast. It's just generally unpleasant for that reason. And I know that Ramona is one of the streets that needs a major sewer main repair, and we need funding for that. So I think there's time to consider converting Ramona into a bike boulevard, which would basically put concrete islands at certain intersections to limit the amount of through traffic on cars. Yes, Lauren, thank you. Just a minute. Wait one minute. Sorry. And I would be happy to talk about this at a later date. I just wanted to put a bug in the ear of the council about moving one or more streets in Grover Beach to being pedestrian and bike priority. But people would still have access to their driveways. They could still park on the street. The fire and ambulance would still have access. It would just limit the amount of people using Ramona instead of Grand Avenue. And that's all. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So I'll turn over to our city clerk just to see if anyone else has joined us at 805-321-6639 for public comments.
No, we have no one else on the line.
Very good. Thank you. I will go ahead and close public comment then. Once again, bring it back to the council. And if just kind of more, it sounds like we've already provided the opportunity to have that discussion about Ramona in the future prioritization of streets. So appreciate Ms. Jeffries kind of giving us the potential focus for a bike boulevard. But I think that could be incorporated in part of a future discussion on Ramona specifically. Do you concur, Mr. Bronson or Mr. Ray?
Yes, I would concur, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. Let's make sure that the council is good with that approach as well. So go ahead and unmute if you have any concerns. Looks like Mr. Roberts good. So nobody else unmuting, so we'll kind of consider that the direction for future consideration, and we'll consider item number 8 complete for this evening, unless staff has anything else they need from us.
No, Mr. Mayor, I'll just thank the council for your good questions and deliberation on this item. It's been a while since we've had this degree of a street update, and the sidewalk discussion was a very timely and important conversation to help maximize these improvements. As the council knows, street improvements, one of your major city goals, and pedestrian, bicycle, and traffic safety is one of the other important goals. So I think the council did some good work tonight in furthering both of these goals and getting us even further along in our street and pedestrian accessibility work. So thank you to the council.
Very good. Yes, good work, everybody. So, and with that, I see Ms. Wiggin turning on her video. So I'm going to give her an opportunity just to say a good evening and see if she wants to add anything on this item before we formally complete it.
No, this is pretty very clear direction.
Okay, very good. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's always good to see you. So we will conclude that item and bring it back to our public communications, where we do have another opportunity for folks to call in at 805-321-6639, and I'll turn it over to our city clerk, see if anyone has called in for public communications at this point of the agenda.
Yes, we have John Weissong.
Very good. Good evening, Mr. Weissong.
On these sidewalks, from 16th to Oak Park, the sidewalks are uneven. I don't know whether they were intoxicated or what, but I have my walker, and it's about ready to fall apart because there's rises in the cement. So really, I have to go out into the street like everybody else walks and jogs. So those sidewalks are a problem and very dangerous because I have tripped many times, and if it hadn't been for my walker, I would have fallen, and I can't get up. I have to call the fire department. So it's time to take charge of the town and make it so that people won't injure themselves. You know, I live on a very dangerous street, and there's no call for this, but those sidewalks raised are horrible. I tripped every once in a while. I have a caregiver that goes with me, and she grabs me. So let's look into that and take care of it for handicapped people. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, John, for those comments. I'll check with our city clerk, see if anyone else has called in to talk under or to speak on public communications.
No, we have no one else on the line.
Very good. Thank you. We'll go ahead and close public comment at this point of the agenda. And just in response to Mr. Weisong's comments, Mr. Ray, if you could include, obviously, that stretch of sidewalk in the inventory discussion to make sure that if there's any improvements that are necessary on that stretch, that those are included. Okay. Very good. Appreciate that. So that'll take us to our council committee reports. Let's see if anyone has any council committee reports this evening. So we'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Well, I had a San Luis Obispo County of Governments meeting. It was quite hefty. So I guess most interest to our city was the Transportation Development Act funds allocation, which means that local transportation funds to Grover Beach estimated at $678,000. That's an estimate. And then the Climate Action Plan for Transportation Infrastructure, or also known as CAPTI, the details, this details how the state recommends investing billions of discretionary transportation dollars to combat and adapt to climate change while supporting public health, safety, and equity. So SLOCOG, which is the acronym for San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments, they generally support the intent of CAPTI, which is the acronym for Climate Action Plan for Transportation Infrastructure. However, there is a concern that the San Luis Obispo County priority transportation infrastructure projects that they have had online for a good long time, like the needed safety and capacity improvements on Highway 101 at Pismo, is going to be deprioritized because this uses vehicle miles traveled basically as their basis. And San Luis Obispo County doesn't fit into that niche so neatly because basically 23 miles that's pretty much the average miles traveled by people in this county. Really, there's a whole long explanation to all of that. But so that CAPTI basis can be very difficult for our county. So there's been a letter sent. And so we're hoping that with help from our local electeds and at the state level and so on, that we will hopefully they'll be able to help us still get funding as necessary. Also, there was a preview to the call for projects to SLOCOG. There are some key dates about that. There was a TAC oversight that I'm sure there are others who can tell. We can talk about this much more intelligently than I, but just for reference, the call for projects applications are due July 9th. SLOCOG staff has initiated meetings with the city staff members to review projects and issues. And basically, SLOCOG dollars are awarded to regionally significant improvements that are, and they are funded with SLOCOG discretionary funds. So whether or not any of our projects are going to get funded is remains to be seen, because, you know, we're not on the highway so much as others are, like Pismo and their Highway 101 project at the Avila Curve and so on. So I would say that's pretty much the highlight of that meeting. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that update. So, and I'm anticipating, Mr. Bronson, that you and Mr. Ray are in touch with SLOCOG when it comes to the calls for projects. And it's based upon what we've done as a city in the past with our priorities that I think we've given a couple times recently.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we are in touch with SLOCOG on those projects.
Okay. Very good. Great. So good to see that they're moving forward. So next we'll go to Councilmember Roberts for any committee reports.
Nothing to report at this time. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Miller, any reports? Nope. Sounds like she didn't have any reports. Okay. So very good. So I just had one committee that met was since our last meeting, the South Slo Sanitation District. And so basically what we did there is we got an update on the redundancy project. All the funds have come in and have been appropriated into the appropriate accounts. Construction has started out there, and as a milestone is reached and COVID subsides enough to have a in public milestone ribbon cutting, that will anticipate occurring. And then there was a discussion, if you recall, I had updated previously that the South Sand District is looking to potentially move their portion of the sewer bill onto property taxes. And so there has been some additional discussion on that item. And the city of Arroyo Grande is going to have a presentation by South Sand District staff regarding that. They have offered to Grover Beach that as well, but based upon our prior discussion, you indicated that was an appropriate determination at the South Sand meeting, because there will be a public hearing on that item at that committee. So unless there's anyone's has a strong desire to have a presentation by the South Sand, we'll kind of leave that that decision making process at that level. So unless someone unmutes themselves and wants to talk about it. Very good. Need to see no one unmute. So Councilmember Miller, did I see you, I saw you moving around a little bit. Did you have a committee assignment that you needed to update us on?
I'm sorry, I don't. I'm just trying to figure out what's wrong with my audio.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, very good. Thank you for that. So so we'll go ahead and close council committee reports. And that brings us to League of California Cities, where the policy the Transportation, Communication, and Public Works Policy Committee is later this week. So I'll give you an update on that next time. And that takes us to council communications. And let's see if anybody has anything to share. And I'll start with Councilmember Miller to see if she can slide under the microphone.
Sure. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
We can.
Great. I have two communications to share. One, we received a notice from the Five Cities Homeless Coalition that they are a partner for the state, the COVID-19 rent relief program. So they are a local partner assisting both landlords and tenants with applying for assistance with past due rent. So anyone, any household earning up to 80% AMI are eligible for that assistance. So I want to make sure that we share that with the public. Secondly, I received, and perhaps other council members did as well, communication from the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors regarding a viability study to establish a public bank for the Central Coast. So we certainly would need a lot more information on this, but I am I'm trying to gauge the group's interest and see consensus to agendize this topic for a future meeting.
So let's see if there's anyone that has questions or before others talk. I've kind of seen some email traffic on that, and would be willing to hear a conversation on the bank concept, because I'm trying to figure out how that would work, how that would operate in addition to other programs like PACE and other things, but how that works for programming of benefits for tenants and landlords as well. So anyone have any concerns about agendizing that? Okay. So I'll let Councilmember Miller work with the city manager and figure out how that comes forward and what the timing would be on that. Is that appropriate?
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Very good. So next we'll turn to Councilmember Robert for any council communications.
None at this time, thank you.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Well, today I did get a letter from the San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District regarding switching the method of billing the existing service fees to a semi-annual billing on the county property tax bill. So I imagine that is going out to everybody. And they did discuss that that there will be a public hearing at the Arroyo Grande City Council chambers on June 2nd at 6:00. So I don't think that there's a need for us to duplicate that effort. So,
okay.
And that's it for me.
Very good. Appreciate that. I don't know if I haven't checked my mail today, so I may have gotten the same thing, but just a clarification, the June 2nd public hearing would be virtual unless COVID restrictions are lifted, in which case we were back at in-person meetings on June 2nd, in which case then Arroyo Grande is the designated location for meetings at that point. So,
right. It does say city council chambers or by virtual Zoom meeting.
Perfect. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Very good. Well, we'll look forward to having that public hearing at on June 2nd. Very good. So my council communications this evening are just two items, one of which is, if I can find my notes, on May 4th this year, the Five Cities Homeless Coalition is going to be having its annual Fiesta at Finn's event, where the Finn's so graciously donates a number all the proceeds of that evening for to benefit the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, and wonderful food, wonderful event, and wonderful a donation by Bruce and the folks at Finn's for that. So you can go to www.5chc.org to get your tickets, and it is slated to be a drive-through event again this year, so you need to order in advance for that. So and then next is I did get some communication from Senator John Laird's office with respect to a bill that he's sponsoring called SB 544 with regards to providing consistent cannabis testing for statewide, and not really sure if we need a full presentation on it, but I think more along the lines of concurrence that either we as a city, as we've moving forward with cannabis programs, whether we want to take a position on this or leave it to the individual council members to take a position on supporting a bill through the legislature for consistent cannabis testing at the state level. So apparently there's a number of nuances depending upon what your license is regarding cannabis testing of product throughout the state. So Senator Laird is trying to do effectively a cleanup bill with respect to that. And so I just want to see if the council wanted to have a quick presentation on that or just take that under consideration individually. So anybody have any thoughts or questions on that? I saw a furrowed brow by Mayor Pro Tem Bright, so I'm expecting she may have a question.
I do. Thank you. What type of testing? You mean product testing?
Yes, along the product supply chain, it would be consistent testing for coming off of the cultivation field before it gets into the distribution or the manufacturing side, and then consistent product testing as it goes from the manufacturer to the dispensary side as well.
Well, I'd be interested just to hearing more about that. Yes.
Okay. Very good. So, Councilmember Miller.
I agree with Pro Tem Bright, Mayor Pro Tem Bright. I don't have much information on SB 544 at this point, so I would appreciate a presentation on it.
Okay. And looks like Councilmember Robert has given us the thumbs up as well. So I think what I'll do is I'll work with the city manager, and we can reach out to Senator Laird's office and figure out the most appropriate item there, realizing that we as a city don't necessarily have a legislative platform. So we've kind of do discussion of individual bills as they come forward. There's a couple other bills regarding, including this acceleration of solar panel installation that people have asked for either support on that level. So perhaps in addition, or maybe as time permits, a legislative discussion that might be brought to the council to see if there's opportunities for items that are maybe perhaps in alignment with our four or five major city goals on an annual basis, that if there's items that affect the city, that we give concurrence to the city manager to draft a letter for the mayor's signature or his own signature with regards to that. So that'd be a future agenda item. Is there a thought process on concurrence from the council to have that discussion probably later this fall? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Mr. City Manager, you and I haven't talked about that before this meeting. We've talked about it previously. So, but does that still, that time frame still work for you? Is that and is that approachable?
Yes, I think that time frame makes sense because the legislative sessions at the state level begin in January. So having a legislative platform that's discussed, identified, and approved by the fall makes sense. My only caution would be from a workload standpoint is we don't really have the office bandwidth to be providing a lot of direct legislative support, and so we would need to schedule this accordingly and making sure that it was done in concert with the other key priorities the council has set, given our limited bandwidth within the manager's office on these type of citywide projects.
Agreed, and thank you for always reminding us of that. So, because we need to make sure that we work our priorities and prioritize our work. So, very good. So, with that, let's see if there's any city manager reports and comments this evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a few items. Ones I wanted to give a shout out to our Public Works Department. Building on the last item, the streets and sidewalks item, we have a ton of projects underway right now and will be underway shortly. We have 16 blocks of street repair work that is nearing completion in the next month. Another 23 blocks that will be started in that same time period. We have the final design being worked out right now on South Oak Park Boulevard. We're nearing the final design on West Grand Avenue between 11th Street and Oak Park. And that, not to mention the other projects not related to street improvements. So just again, big kudos to Public Works for their great work in churning out projects and getting things accomplished every day under Greg Ray's leadership, Aaron Wigan, our CIP manager, our maintenance crew, who's doing a lot of the field work, our other engineering staff members. They're doing a tremendous job, and I want to give them some special recognition now on all the great work they're doing. Building on that, I'm pleased to inform the council that next Monday we'll begin the removal of the current playground equipment at 16th Street Park as we proceed with our very exciting new playground equipment at that park coming up this summer. It's going to be quite a project as we remove piece by piece the existing 20-year plus equipment and put in the new state-of-the-art equipment the council has approved for our park facility. It'll be done by mid-June, just in time for the summertime, for the onslaught of kids to use our most heavily visited city park. We're really excited to see this happen. Also, we'll have a new ADA walkway around the playground and new restroom facilities that will be renovated. So very exciting work being done there. Third, just to remind the council that next Monday we have a special meeting planned for the interview of council applications or council applicants for the council vacancy, and then the appointment of an individual into the vacant role should the council make that appointment next Monday. So that's coming up starting at 6 p.m. We'll have the information posted by this Thursday along with the applications of those who applied for this role. And lastly, I wanted to give a special recognition to Councilmember Miller, as Ms. Miller was recently named one of the top 50 women in business by the Pacific Coast Business Times. That's a significant accomplishment for Ms. Miller, and I wanted to recognize her here and just to congratulate her for this significant achievement. And that is all, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Thank you, and congratulations, Emma, for that that well-deserved recognition. Very nice. So next, that'll take us to our city attorney reports and comments. Mr. Hale.
None this evening other than our closed session.
Very good. Then I'll let you go ahead and announce our closed session, please.
Council, we're about to convene in closed session related to a public employee performance evaluation consistent with the Government Code 54957B1. Title of the employee is me, city attorney.
Very good. And before we do recess into closed session, I'll check with our city clerk and see if there's any members of the public that want to speak under the closed session item.
No, there's no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you. Then we will go ahead and recess into closed session. And we will say thank you to all those that have joined us. And we'll announce out of closed session if there's any reportable action. So just a housekeeping item from Mr. Bronson. I'm assuming that everyone else will